Hello and welcome to Press TV's News Analysis. Coming to you from Tehran, I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, as the oppression and the violence continues in Bahrain, Western capitals continue to give a muted response. On Sunday, two Bahrainis were sentenced to death in a military court. Now, Amnesty International has said that the executions should be stayed, while mum has been the word from Bahrain's main ally, the United States.
A Bahraini military appeals court has upheld death sentences for two civilian protesters. The two men were convicted in a kangaroo military court of killing police officers during anti-regime demonstrations. Despite a brutal Saudi-led crackdown on anti-regime protests, Bahraini demonstrators have braved the mean streets across the tiny Persian Gulf sheikhdom to condemn the appeals court for upholding the death sentences. Opposition activists see the ruling as a desperate political move aimed at suppressing a revolution that erupted back in mid-February.
And I think we're expecting to see more of death sentence in the coming days, as many of the accusations against opposition figures and some activists is related to overthrowing the government or attempt to overthrow the government. And many of those accusations, the charges goes up to death penalty.
It is not clear when the executions will take place, but they need final approval by Bahrain's Emir Hamad Al Khalifa.
Bahrain is a long-standing partner.
The rulings came only a few days after U.S. President Barack Obama rather theatrically called on the Manama regime to ease back its crackdown on protesters. The rights NGO, Amnesty International, has also called for a halt to the executions. Bahrain is home to the U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet. It declared martial law in March, shortly before Saudi Arabia sent in its military to help stifle the popular revolution in the sheikhdom. Dozens of people have been shot dead on the streets, hundreds have been detained, and a number have died under torture since the brutal crackdown began. There have also been numerous reports of intimidation and serious abuses against protesters by the Saudi-led Bahraini forces. One village was even attacked by a US-supplied Apache helicopter gunship. Among all the popular cries for justice, however, the US, the world's self-proclaimed and self-satisfied human rights advocate, has strangely fallen silent on the sheer suffering endured on a daily basis by Bahraini protesters.
This must be an international effort, and that there has to be...
Well, I'm very happy to be joined right here in the studio by two of our guests tonight. First of all, I'd like to welcome political analyst Professor Rodney Shakespeare. Thanks so much for being with us. And from the Bahrain Freedom Movement, Dr. Saeed Shahabi. Also, welcome to the program. We're also joined via Skype, Mr. Nabil Rajab, of course, of the Bahrain Human Rights Center. Welcome, Mr. Rajab, and I'd like to start off with you. Can you fill us in on the latest that is happening, that has happened in Bahrain? Now, we know about the two individuals that have been sentenced to life today, and of course the other two who's basically been given a sentence of execution. If you could fill us in on the rest, I'd appreciate it.
Well, as you know, two were sentenced for death penalty and two were reduced to life imprisonment. And there is one more step in the judicial system, in the military judicial system, that it has to go through before the approval of the king on the execution. As you know, those people didn't have access to lawyers, didn't have enough access to their family. All of them were tortured to get forced confession. And as you know, at least one of the defendants tortured to death. Today in Bahrain, we had protests in all the villages around Bahrain as an anger and protesting this decision by the court. Now we're waiting for the last appeal, which is in the court. And we're looking forward to see how it's going to look like. People of Bahrain are very angry in that. It is a political verdict. because the court itself is headed by a member of ruling family, which we consider as part of the problem, and they can't be part of the judicial system at the same time. You can't be a judge at the same time part of the problem. The families were didn't have time. I mean, they were complaining all the time. They've seen them in court, and they look very bad, as marks of torture could appear in their body. All of them, before the session of the court started, they tortured them, even in the court building. One of them, in the last session, was taken to hospital before the trial start because he fainted because of the torture that he have been receiving. A lot of people were taken to court today, yesterday, before yesterday. The military tribunal is speeding so fast. More men and women, young girls, are taken to military court for practicing their freedom of expression, being taking part in a protest, taking part in a prayer roundabout, or have sent a message through their telephone by SMS, or in, they tweeted a statement or uploaded a statement by human rights group in their Facebook account. All of this become a crime, which could take them to life imprisonment. This, which considered to be a freedom of expression around the world and guaranteed by international convention. But here in South Bahrain, it is considered to be a crime. People being sentenced for tweeting, for doing some activity in Facebook. So things look very critical. I don't know how the martial law going to be lifted in the 1st of June. No, the environment doesn't look at all that this martial law going to be lifted. Villages are still being raided. People are being arrested in a daily and hourly basis. Today, one of the school was raided, and some students, while they were doing their exam, were arrested. So things is a bit complicated, and more gap is wider and wider. I don't think that martial law will mean anything, lifting the martial law, if we stay. Because you're talking about hundreds of people are still waiting for the military court. Besides that, even those people who were released in the past days, and government declared that they have released some people, but now, in the past 4 days, they called them again, and they surprised them that they have to go through a military court. Although Bahrain announced as a positive that they released 300 people, but those people are being called back to face, to be before the military court, and some of them were already sentenced to 3, 4, and 5 years. So it is, and as you know this, hello?
Go ahead, Mr. Raja.
Hello?
Okay, you Hello? Can't hear me, Mr. Rajab. Okay, we seem that we have lost that connection with Nabil Rajab. Perhaps we can get him back via Skype. But I'd like to turn to you, Mr. Dr. Shahabi, about this situation. Of course, you yourself are one of the people that are wanted in your country, in Bahrain, have been tried in absentia. Tell me about this situation, that how are they able to get away with setting up a so-called court system? And as Mr. Rajab has said, the basically no representation from lawyers, no rights, basically no access to legal counsel, and plus being tortured. And yet there's silence for the most part from the international community. How are they able to get away with what would be called in my country, the United States, the kangaroo court?
Thank you very much. And as we hear from Nabil Rajab, these people are continuing to do what they have been doing, not for weeks, but for decades. Why are they allowed to get away with it? It's a very, very simple, straightforward answer. The United States support, British support. These two countries have not wavered in their support to this regime. They have never said a word of real condemnation, apart from expressing concerns as a way to respond to the increasing criticism coming from the public media and from NGOs in the West. Apart from that, it is very clear that the White House is giving its full political, security, and moral support to the regime. So it feels that it is free to do whatever it likes. It sentences people to death. I mean, these two people, the two people who have been sentenced to death now, They have been severely tortured. You cannot have the executioner and the judge in the same person. You can't be a judge and executioner at the same time. But they are. They are the judges and the executioners. And they adopt torture as the main weapon to get confession in order to convince the world that these people were violent. There was no violence. These two people simply did not kill the policeman. As simple as that. And we challenge this regime. We challenge the United States. We challenge the British government, who say that, of course, apparently agree that two policemen were killed by them. We challenge anybody to prove in an open court, in a court of law, that these people did kill two policemen. They did not kill anybody. We only last week we heard how the famous and world-renowned human rights activist, Abdul Hadi Al-Khawaja, he said that if you don't apologize to the king openly, we will rape you. I mean, to what level do you expect people to sink before they are categorized as evil?
Well, and on that note, to what level do we expect him to sink? What about what Dr. Shahabi has said, Professor Shakespeare, in talking about the lack of involvement of the United States and the UK, or basically turning a deaf ear to what is going on there? Why would it be in London's and Washington's interest to turn a deaf ear to innocent people being tortured and killed?
Because they have a false understanding as to what is the true long-term interest of the United States and of the United Kingdom. In the UK, those giggling idiots in the Foreign Office, they just say, oh, it's our economic interests. But already the situation in Bahrain is such that the economy is going very rapidly down the tubes. Mm. And no decent person will want to trade with them. And if the Khalifa killers want to do any shopping in Paris or London, they'd better make sure that they have at least 50 guards, because people would despise them. They're no longer any respect held for them. But the trouble is just the misconception of what is a nation's interest. And it was interesting today that President Obama, in his speech, when he pandered to IPEC, which is the Zionist organization in the United States, he actually did touch on some very powerful demographic factors in the situation in respect of Israel. And those factors are also there in the Middle East. So I'm afraid that the United States at the moment, its policy is controlled by Israel, which demands that the situation be as it is in respect of Bahrain. But at some stage, the American State Department may well wake up to the fact that its long-term interests are not being served by its disgraceful behavior. And the same goes for the government of our country.
Okay, now, Dr. Shahabi, last month, Bahrain's foreign minister actually was in Doha at a conference and dealing with, I want to quote this, dealing with Libya's future. And it was said that the Kingdom of Bahrain, quote, supports the efforts to solve the Libyan problem with its political, security, and humanitarian dimensions, and backs all international efforts that leads to ensuring the humanitarian needs of the Libyan people. Is that a strange comment coming from the Bahraini regime to you? And why would the Bahraini government make that comment about the Libyan government and yet totally doing the opposite at home?
Only 2 days ago, the independent newspaper in London published a front page story saying that Cameron embraces tyranny. And I don't think you can ever have a stronger headline than that.
No.
Okay? However, this foreign minister would come and suggest that the world should deal with the situation in Libya with compassion and fulfill the humanitarian needs. Of course, these are good words. But they shouldn't have come from a person whose government have sacked more than 3,000 people not for committing any mistake or being unprofessional in their work, but simply because they might have taken taken a role in demonstrations. Maybe they have participated in a protest. A regime that has prevented the doctors and the nurses from undertaking and administering their own profession to the needy and to those who were injured. These people, why should they be sacked? Why should they be tried? I don't discount the possibility that even among those doctors and nurses, some of them may be accused falsely of hilarious accusations, and they could even be condemned to death. So we know that this regime is hypocritical, is inhumane, and it would do in its country what it would ask the world not to allow to happen in other countries.
Can I
go?
The facts on the ground are such that genocide is actually being committed. You have to look up the definitions of genocide, you look at the facts of the ground, genocide is being committed. It also, the facts on the ground suggest that the mental mindset has become not just corrupted but perverse. You've got the beating up of little girls, you've got the threat of not just raping, they're actually what's going on in the prisons, we just better not discuss on this program. Now, something has happened. They are out to destroy a culture, and yet apart from the torture and the physical effects and the genocide, and yet the world is not standing up for this. And this, of course, is ultimately probably due to the Zionist control of all the media organizations, including newspapers like the Daily Telegraph and the BBC in the UK. Mm-hmm. So this is a very serious matter, and we thank the human rights organizations, we thank the brave people like Nabil Rajab, and who are doing their very best. But what matters is the people watching this program should get off their backsides. If they can do nothing else, they should get on the internet and go straight at their MPs. They should go straight at their trade unions and demand some sort of political action.
Well, just jumping in with what you're just saying there, you're saying people, they should do something. Do you think in general what we're looking at in the world, that people feel less empowered than they once did? They almost feel impotent in being able to respond to the, let's say, the lack of responses or correct responses from their perspective, from their own governments.
Yes, but they should take heart for what is the situation you have at this moment, what is called an Islamic awakening or an Arab awakening or a democratic awakening or a demographic awakening. And that is the powerful one, you see. It's young people, educated, no jobs, rising food prices, the internet. And they should take heart from that and see that although it's a slow process and it may take quite a bit of time, the fact of the matter is there's more progress that's been done in the last 3 months than in 30 years. So they should look at the example and they should get off their backsides and go straight down the throats of their MPs and go straight at the British Foreign Office. They should go straight at the Conservatives and tell them exactly what they think. And the message is getting out there due to press TV, and the message is getting out there, but more greater numbers are needed to make the impetus.
Now, Dr. Shahabi, Washington said, well, U.S. President Barack Obama said that the that he hails the shouts of human dignity being heard across the Middle East. What does that mean, you think, when it comes to Bahrain? What is he saying?
Well, he has a time delay of at least 2 months of hearing anything. The mosques were destroyed more than 2 months ago, and only now did he say something, mentioned that the mosque shouldn't be destroyed. And the minute he said it, the regime rushed to say that we will rebuild some of the mosques. So
how will they correct the torture and the killing that they've done?
Well, because Mr. Obama did not mention about torture.
No.
He didn't say that at least 4 people were killed under torture. He would not really uncover the truth and the true face of this regime. Because they know, and this is why the Bahraini people are consider the United States be as complicit in what's going on in Bahrain, because they are aware of what's going on. The British ambassador is there. The British the U.S. ambassador is in Manama. They saw how the tractors went and destroyed the mosque, how the various villages were attacked and were ransacked. Only 2 days ago, the Nuedrat village was attacked severely, and I am sure tonight various other places would be attacked in the same way. So the Americans are aware of what's going on, but they only choose the moment and the subject on which they would speak out about.
And we're almost out of time. I just want to get Dr. Shahabi's, because Professor Shakespeare, you gave me your perspective about what should be done as far as the people campaign. What is the answer at this point in time from your perspective?
I think more pressure on the regime, more collective action. I agree with Professor Shakespeare. I think breaking the siege on Bahrain, as there were some attempts recently sending ships to Bahrain to carrying essential aid to the people, because people are dying dire consequences of the regime's actions. I think it is time that those people, and also one more final point, that is the people should pursue the torturers, because without pursuing torturers and killers, more people would be executed in the name of law, and in addition to those who were killed by torture.
Okay, and on that note, I know it went very fast. I wish we could spend more time together. Dr. Saeed Shahabi, Bahrain Freedom Movement, Professor Rodney Shakespeare, political analyst, thank you so much. And of course, as always, we thank Mr. Nabil Rajab in Bahrain. And we thank you, viewers, for staying with us. Join us same place, same time tomorrow. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out from Tehran. Thank you. Goodbye.